Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Privyet, my friends. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
All right.
Jimmy Campbell's here.
Hello.
And Petey Donov.
Hello.
Don't you know I'm all yours, babushka, 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 yeah, yeah.
A lovely bit of a Kate Bush by way of Alan Partridge to start the show.
Bit of a Russian thing going on, because they've bloody done it!
Yes, they have.
This World Cup, Pete Donaldson!
It's up and down, it's left and right, I don't know what's going on.
England will bring us back down,
don't worry.
Pete, well, Do you feel like this is the world that you inhabit most of the time and everyone's falling into line?
Exactly. It's like that bit in Who Framed Roger Rabbit where you got a cartoon world. That's my brain. But and anything's possible. The cars talk!
Yeah, we've had...
And the bullets.
We've had...
Bob Hoskins is there.
Anyone else? Sam, you want to get involved?
Luke, go on, Sam.
You should be quicker off the mark, Luke. You're letting in space, mate.
Well, I know, yeah, and dead air is a crime, exactly. To go back to the Alan Partridge theme.
Unlike Russia.
But a few inquiries about your sunburn, Pete. Can we have a status update, please, for those listeners out there who are concerned about you?
Oh, it's gone a bit scabby.
Has it?
Which means it's at a really strange part of the trunk on the body, in that every time I breathe, I scream a little bit.
Trunk. Not good. I know, yeah, the trunk. Do you think it would have been, if you were playing for Russia yesterday, would you have been able to execute their amazing tactical plan if you had sunburn to inhibit you?
I'm sure their doctors would look after me admirably.
I'm sure they would. Aloe vera all over the gaff.
I've heard the word bloody aloe vera so many times of so many people. It's incredible.
That's just because people care about you.
Yeah. No, but like aloe vera...
She's one of your neighbours, old
aloe vera is such a 90s sort of thing, and it's come back in a big way. And most of the Aussies I've met have said yogurt. Not dessert, guys, yogurt.
Yogurt's good for it.
I've got a bad reputation for yogurt.
You can't fix everything with yogurt.
Russia are in the quarterfinal for the first time in 40 years. Of course, it was the Soviet Union back in those days, but you know what I mean.
And the scenes in Moscow looked unbelievable. Incredible.
Have we even heard from Lord Ramble again? Lord Ramble went to the match. I've not heard a text. I've not seen a text from him or anything.
No, I've not seen anything on WhatsApp. I presume he's still with us.
His name's John. We can call him that now.
All right, John Lord Ramble.
Yeah.
Right. But yes, our man was out there, and we look forward to tales when he comes back. If he ever comes back.
I'm just genuinely worried about him.
I'm worried about the Russians.
I think it might have been
there.
His presence in the stands that really spurred them on.
It was a remarkable day, and Luke Moore called it yesterday on the Football Ramble. However, when it came to the crunch...
Between two pugilists.
When it came to the crunch and it came to the penalty shootout, you bottled it, didn't you?
I didn't bottle it. I chose the wrong team.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not bottling, is it?
It is bottling it, because yesterday you were saying, I think Russia are going to be the surprise.
Bottling it would have been saying, I'm not going to tell you, or I'm not going to make a decision.
No, the bottling it is
bottling it.
Yeah. It is. You had your chance. You punched in the numbers for the with your penalty algorithm, which I think needs updating because, and I can read out the message if you like, it doesn't take into account botheredness. And yeah. Russia, let's be honest, they'd already they were all already above and beyond their expectations. Spain were worried, and I said, I think I took over the prediction what do you call him? David Nugent in the back of the net.
Very eloquently put, Marcus. Well played.
Is that all you've got?
I was going to say the penalty algorithm has
failed you.
Intellectual programming that you couldn't even hope to understand.
Well, I got the
and,
I got
and the problem is, right. As I said before the game, mm-hmm. host interference plays a big part. It's very, very difficult to
your
know.
Your algorithm you needs updating.
That. Yeah, and also I predicted that Spain would have a lot of trouble against Russia yesterday, and they did. And the game played out exactly as I imagined it. Yeah. Russia hassled, harried, made it tough for Spain. Spain were... I saw a great quote from Tom Williams, who's a football journalist that I follow on Twitter, said that Vicente Lizarazu said Spanish tiki-taka football is like love without sex. And that's exactly how it played out last night. Mm. When you think of that classic Spanish team that won the World Cup and the two Euros, and in a way it was a variation on that Barcelona team as well.
A while ago now, people forget.
Exactly. And what's happened is the cutting edge and the thrust and the drive of that team has just been lost. So what you've been left with is essentially the easy bit. Mm. So that killer ball behind the fullback, that killer through ball, that cutback from the byline. We only really seen that once in this tournament when I think it was Iniesta cut one back for Isco.
And Costa is not a mobile striker. So if you're kind of aiming for that kind of player, like he's just not quick.
No, I don't think it's anything to do with Costa personally. I think Costa... His movement is,
he doesn't like pull defenders away from me.
He pulls defenders.
He's a type.
I don't think that's true either. I think none of the Spanish players would even acknowledge that he was on the pitch.
But fascinating to me. I feel, how can you play without a cutting edge when you have Diego Costa up front? He's nothing but edge.
Mm. Well,
he's like an M.C. Escher painting.
He showed against Portugal in the first game and then got a lucky goal in the second one. I was surprised they took him off, because if you're getting nowhere, which they clearly were, you need someone who's a bit rugged who might produce something. Now, I know Rodrigo came on and tried to spice things up a bit, but they
didn't play the ball forward, though, Marcus. You know what I mean? I don't even think it had much to do with Russia. I mean, a lot of teams will have trouble with teams that play with, you know, 9-10 men behind the ball. And they did, Harry. They did work very hard. But I think Spain can deal with that. They just had no forward momentum at all. They just had no... Again, they had no... they didn't have that final ball at all.
What's so strange about it as well is it's like a parody of the style that we saw them win the Euros in particular with. But it's just so boring.
It looks so outdated, though, doesn't it?
It does look outdated, yeah. And it's just dull. And Spain have gone back to being that team that massively underachieve at World Cups and just you always think should do better and then just kind of embarrass themselves when they get there. This is the typical Spain that we knew before 2008 and we thought would always... You know, we thought that style would always haunt them, and it's weird to see it back.
Is the Spanish FA, has their ego cost Spain a
tournament?
Well,
if Lopetegui's in charge, I can't imagine, because they look really good before the tournament. They look far more dynamic, and I know the game against Portugal, we all went on about, quite rightly so.
But they were good in that game, Spain.
Mm. They were good in
that
game.
And Portugal go out.
Well, hence I said quite rightly so, because they've still probably got the hallmarkings of Lopetegui, and that, you know, anybody could come in and perhaps manage that side for the first game, but as the tournament goes on...
There was so many shots like Iniesta on the bench, I'm going, he's not the solution.
Yeah.
Well, they had... I think it does lay bare the problem with changing your manager so late on, because Hierro's obviously around the squad and he knows what he knows, but he's not an experienced manager. He's not had any success as a manager. Mm. And so when it comes down to, now we need to do something a bit different... It's like you were talking to me, Marcus, yesterday about our dear friend Kevin Keegan and his England days. And when we didn't, it seemed like by Keegan's own admission, they would go into games with one plan, and they didn't know what to do. Mm. And that's what Spain essentially are like. I'm not comparing them to Keegan's England, because obviously they've got a lot more going for them than that. But it's almost like you can see them looking around, as in like, well, this doesn't seem to be working, and we don't know what to do. And I would maintain that if you're playing in that deep line midfield role like Koke was yesterday, you can play all the passes you want, like laterally and the simple ones. And Busquets does a really good job of keeping the game ticking over by doing that. But if you're not going to even take the responsibility to try and play a through ball or try and find the target man or the striker that you don't seem to acknowledge even exists. I mean, I think Diego Costa is a right shit, but I felt really sorry for him yesterday because he doesn't get anything. He makes runs. He'll make textbook like forward runs that when you play like under 10s football and you're playing up front, your coach will tell you to do, start off there, diagonally forward to the near post. He makes about 15 of them a game, don't
you? Yeah, but they don't lift the ball up to him. That's they don't
don't even notice he's doing it.
But they seem to use them as dummy runs so they can play it back inside.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's madness. It's like a zombified version of tiki-taka. It's like the players don't understand the point of it.
And let's face it, I think at 1-0, like, Russia were never going to score a goal.
No.
And so Pique is very much lost than that match in many ways. Like,
the thing is with Russia, and we say this so many times in football, when there's a little flicker or a little tiny window opens up of opportunity, some teams, you know, can grab that one in a million or one in a thousand, whatever you want to say, and they can take it. Another team just falls short. When the window opened up for Russia, boom, they got the penalty.
Yeah.
And they took it. And they rode their luck. Well, not so much rode their luck, but they hung
it
on
was,
in there.
It was a long final 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
They worked very hard. They were cramping up all over the place.
What I love is we talk about Spain.
They were cramping up all the place.
We talk about Spain maybe not following the manager's plan or perhaps not having a plan B or whatever. Well, Cherchesov, he's done remarkably well, this man, this tashed beauty that's come in to manage Russia. And he said that he really had to persuade his players that his tactics were the only way they could beat Spain. And he said, I spoke with every player individually more than I had in the past, and I had to explain to them why, where, what, and it has worked out as you see. I believe that my players have been victorious because they have adhered to my strategy. And nice. I love that. Well, get in there, big man.
He has definitely given them like a little bit of...
belief.
A bit of belief.
He said that when he came in. He went, right, enough of this nonsense. We're a host nation. We need to do something. His CV isn't particularly gleaming. I think the only sort of sizable trophies that he's won or important trophies he's won were in the 2015-16 season. I think he may have done the double with Legia Warsaw in Poland.
Right.
But that's really about it. You know, he's managed a bit in Russia and so on. But it's they played for penalties. I mean, Igor Akinfeev, who was the hero, which was nice for him because he's been slightly derided in this tournament. He's been around for years in Russia. All the posters or some of the posters in the tournament are of Lev Yashin, of course, and so on. So for Russia to have a goalkeeper who's had a moment of his own. Yeah.
I think it was really important for Akinfeev, and I was really pleased for him purely because he was seen as the next big thing back in the day. Yeah. It's this next great goalkeeper, the next Yashin and all this stuff. And a lot of it was inspired by the fact that he was a wonder kid on Football Manager, and everyone obviously uses that, well, not everyone, but lots of people use that as their in quotes football knowledge and like to talk about it. So he was put under a huge amount of pressure. It's been a feeling that he's never really lived up to his expectation, never really lived up to his potential. Yet he's now had a moment where he's knocked out a big team in a World Cup. He's been the hero in a home World Cup for him.
I think that's a clean sheet as well. I'm thinking there's so much left of the game. I feel like he did.
And it wasn't on goal, so that doesn't count.
And to pick up on that, actually, you know, Pete, you said, I think rightly, that Russia were very unlikely to score and they took their penalty and they were happy with that. I know, on paper they had like over 20 shots, but I don't really remember Spain having like, well, you got, oh my God, how's that not? Like, the one we talk about on this show is the old Portsmouth at Man United at Old Trafford in the FA Cup.
Yep.
How have they not won that?
Yeah.
I don't have a feeling about that at all.
Absolutely not.
And I thought Ignashevich showed a lot of balls actually to step up and take a penalty and score it because
he's 39 in a few weeks.
Yeah, he was at fault for the goal. Of course, it was poor defending. And speaking of people cramping up, I mean, Ignashevich, he looked absolutely gone with about 20 minutes left. And then he had extra time.
Yeah.
Yet he still stepped up and took a penalty and scored it. I think he deserves an immense amount of credit for that.
They used all of their subs quite early on as well, didn't they?
They got an extra one, an extra time, of course. They used three, pretty early on. Yeah.
It's mad to think that 120 minutes of football you played against Spain, who had over 1,000 passes. He's 39 in a few weeks, and he's on the winning side.
But that was their game plan, though, wasn't it? Like, get it to extra time and get it to penalties. They knew very well that they were going to try and take it to extra time. So they knew very well, use all three subs because you get another one in the
We were hoping for penalties. I mean, Spain had 79% possession.
The Russian fans were celebrating like they'd won at the start of the penalties.
And they played their part.
They did.
Oh,
absolutely. I mean, the look on the manager's face was just completely emotionless when they won. I love that. I love because that really exudes an authority, doesn't it? That's properly just saying to the players, I knew this would happen. This is how much I believe in you. We're not even getting started yet. We're not even at a point where it's worth celebrating. That's really going to translate to them. But yeah, it was such a sort of strange period of extra time as well, because more than even the rest of the game, it really was attack versus defence, wasn't it? Russia weren't even disguising.
They didn't even have an outlet, did they?
No, they weren't even trying to disguise their tactics at that point. And was it Ignashevich lucky to not give a penalty away as well on Ramos later on?
Oh, yeah.
He's barging around a lot.
That's the problem with... we'll talk about this before we came on. I don't want to get down that rabbit hole again, but that's the problem with that type of thing. With VAR, you're adding another layer of essentially something that is unclear. I mean, another layer of interpretation, which actually doesn't necessarily help you, because clearly that VAR team thought, and that referee then thought, that it wasn't obvious enough. Mm. Yet another referee and another VAR team on another day probably would have given a penalty for that.
Was all the VAR team from Russia, Luke?
No, I don't think so.
Luke, could we get 5 VAR teams?
We could do.
And then the VAR team
can hold in, get another VAR team, and then that goes to another VAR team.
Yeah.
And then until King VAR says,
and the young guys are the varsity VAR team.
Yeah. And no one's really doing anything for the rest of the night anyway. So. Russia are now 20-1 with Bet365 to win their home tournament, something that would have been unthinkable before the tourney started.
My goodness.
£10 returns, £210 including stake, should it happen. I just thought, do you know what? And I'll go a bit further on Spain, because I imagine if you're a Spain fan, you'd be pretty pissed off today. I think if you put together over 1,000 passes and don't manage really one clear-cut chance, I think you should be ashamed of yourself. Mm. I think that is essentially doing the easy part of football over and over again without taking responsibility to at least try to do the hard part.
I'm generally trying to think of like their most clear-cut chance apart from their goal, and it was that whiff across the box, wasn't it?
Oh, the keeper got a hand to.
Which wasn't even on target. And I'm trying to think that's the only one they had.
I get frustrated in football, and I talked about this in the context of Belgium in the last World Cup, I think it was, when you think to yourself, you'd have been better off lumping it up to Diego Costa and him trying to flick it on. When it comes to that, you do have to think, okay, come on, you've got to abandon this at some point. But
you've got a plan A, but with your plan B on the pitch,
yeah, exactly. Sure. I mean, look, if Spain had have scored quite late on, we would have said, oh, they stuck to their principles. But I think that they didn't. But also, they just never looked likely.
Mm. Definitely, and I think it's easy to say from the sidelines, of course, and we're never going to be able to experience it as individuals. But just from the outside looking in, I'd like to think someone who's an experienced player. I mean, I know Iniesta didn't start the game, but he ended up on the pitch, and there are other experienced players there. I can't believe that they're not standing around saying, right, we're playing against Russia, they're at home, the atmosphere's against us. If we carry on doing this, mm-hmm. we are unquestionably going to go out of the World Cup. So we need to do something different. And I think Russia, they've done very well to get where they've gotten to, but they are a limited team. I think even when Zuber was on the pitch, I know he scored the penalty, but even when he was on the pitch, he looked slow. He looked nowhere near the... I mean, there's no way he would be playing for a top Spanish team, for example. So Spain are so clearly so much better, but their stubbornness, and you talk about getting the ball up to Diego Costa or whatever. The reason they won't do that is not some sort of purist, oh, we couldn't possibly consider ourselves doing that because we're way above that. It's not that. It's fear. It's not taking responsibility. It's not wanting to be the one who gives the ball away or who misses the chance or who does something that doesn't quite come off, because they're worried about it, because all they care about is keeping the ball, because it's easy for them to do it because they're technically good.
I
think that's wrong.
I wonder as well if actually a little bit of arrogance comes into it. And you talk about them saying to themselves, if we carry on like this, we'll unquestionably lose the game. I wonder if the opposite is actually true, where they didn't even consider the idea that they
Didn't. That's
wouldn't.
What I'm saying. I wonder why there was no one doing that. I'm agreeing with what you're saying there. I think there is a bit of arrogance there, for sure.
Well, the fact is that two of the big four, I say the big four, that's my big four, although I'm pretty sure that most people had France, Brazil, Germany and Spain as a kind of, they were the top four favourites for the World Cup. Two have gone. Two have fallen. It's a very interesting...
There's that great list of teams that all of these teams, like one of these teams will be in the World Cup final.
Oh, yeah. Could be Russia, mate.
And there's only, think, a Sweden and England who've ever been in a final before, so...
Oh, Pete, no player currently still active in the World Cup has ever played in the World Cup final before.
Brilliant.
Wow.
I'll take that.
That's fantastic.
I'll take that all day long. But it's not going to be Anderson Iniesta, because he's retired from international football, and he said it was the saddest day of his career. But Russia could be in that final. They'll need to get past Croatia, though, in the quarterfinal. We'll talk about them, ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/ramble.
We'll have another one of them next week.
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, everybody. Sponsored by Bet365.
Actually, we won't because of goal line technology.
Of course we won't, you silly sausage.
But we'll find another way.
England will find a way.
Croatia are through.
They are.
Uninspiring, but they're through.
They were uninspiring, weren't they? And it's was it disappointing or was it,
yes, it
encouraging
was.
In case we meet them later?
I think Jim, stop it now.
I can't stop it. I'm sort of going, has every team got a shit game in them? Or has every... because have we taken ours with Belgium? I don't know.
No,
because Croatia looked so good. They looked like the best team on our side of the draw for the longest time. And then we saw Denmark completely nullify them by being exactly the same as them.
I think Luke mentioned that they suffer sometimes what England do when there's a little bit of pressure. Croatia, they've been brilliant. It's just like what they were in the Euros. We mentioned that. They were great in the group. They got through and they went, crap. Yeah, that's right. We're a small nation or whatever the mentality is. And they nearly did this. But I'm afraid Denmark are a very limited side. Denmark really have done very well to get out the group. And despite the efforts from Kasper Schmeichel, I just think that in the end, you know, he was thinking, right, okay. Obviously, Mandzukic equalised early on after the Danes had a great start. Schmeichel kept them out for the rest of the game. He saved that penalty from Modric. He started saving them in the shootout. And just, he was like, lads, help me out. And it was just a bridge too far. Rakitic comes up and goes, right, I'm putting you away now for good, you know. Yeah. He wouldn't go away.
It was an incredible game as far as that all the good stuff was packed into the first 5 minutes and the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a sort of particularly lazy, but good, but lazy... A-level student putting together an essay. I'll do a good first para and a last conclusion and hope I don't read the rest.
Yeah. That's right. Skim read it.
And can I just make a special effort, in case I forget, to hand out the award for greatest tactical foul of all time.
Well, did he not try and play the ball?
Well,
Jorgensen?
By the rules he did. But we all know what was going to happen. Whether he was going to get that close to the ball or not, that player was going down. It was either a red or a yellow. And it happened to be a yellow.
I thought it was extraordinary because when Rebic, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Ran through.
He's got to put it away.
You think, tuck that away. And then, of course, the penalty's given. And you think, oh, okay, Modric is going to score. He misses. And it's not like a foul, like, say, like, I don't know, the Mbappe one on Rocco. Mbappe was going quite wide. There was still a bit to do there. And normally when the foul, that he's one-on-one with the keeper and he'll get fouled, and you think, we still got to beat the goalkeeper. And if the penalty's missed, you go, that's just... I thought, if Croatia don't win this, he was inches of just tapping into an open net like this, massive!
Like, Schmeichel was, like, yards behind him or rather in front of him, and it was just like... Oh well,
I think from the defender's point of view, it's not as calculated. I say tactical foul. To be fair, I think it's probably just foul. In that sort of moment, he's probably been so conditioned over the years playing in that position to just at all costs stop the ball going into the net that he's just thrown himself at it.
Oh yeah, he still must have thought as soon as he connected, that's a red.
I hope
that's not going in the net.
That's it. There's one option he's got in that situation to stop a goal in the dying second. So he's got to go for it, right? He's got to take it.
I think it's gone underplayed how poor it was from Rebic. Yeah. I don't think he knew he was
it's
there.
It's funny, I didn't even really think about that.
He could have just played it. I mean, he took an extra touch because he didn't know the defender was coming back. He could have just buried that and he did the hard bit, and then when it came to executing it, he couldn't do it. He wasn't quick enough.
Defender could have gone in and the ball could still have ended up in the net.
Oh, it probably would have done.
But because, there was a covering defender who managed to get hold of it before it went in.
If they went out,
that'd have been pig sick.
I mean, they were so close to going out. I know. Schmeichel made some amazing saves.
Subasic was the hero.
I think both did.
Monaco Subasic was the hero.
And Schmeichel was the man of the match, wasn't he, as well?
He was, a day
for the goalkeeper.
He certainly was. I mean,
shots of him and his dad, up in the stands. It was like, oh. I know, like, Peter Schmeichel was a legendary shithouse and Kasper Schmeichel is an underrated shithouse, but, like, such kind of presence in the net. That costs for a lot in a penalty shootout. Like arrogance and sort of, I'm going to bloody save this sort of thing.
And I'm going to jump off my line, which isn't allowed.
He pointed.
Every keeper does that, and it never gets pulled back.
Schmeichel pointed, didn't he, when Modric took his second penalty? But he pointed the direction he was going to go. And I think Modric, he scored.
It was a fairly poor penalty as well.
Yeah,
it's so funny to me how like the pressure of the occasion gets to such good players because you think. Technically, I mean, we've all seen like professional footballers in the flesh, right? And some of us have seen them up close and how good they are. Like the way they strike the ball, it's almost like they're playing a completely different sport to how we play, like as amateurs. When it comes up to taking a penalty, I mean, you wonder whether the future of penalty kicks is that Harry Kane type way. He seems to ape what Johnny Wilkinson did for England, where he has this process. So Johnny Wilkinson always did this thing where he'd address the ball, he'd look at the post, look back a certain amount of times.
This is what Sir Clive Woodward was saying, wasn't it?
Yeah, hold his hands in a certain place and execute the same way every time. Now, of course, the added jeopardy to that and a penalty is that there's a goalkeeper who can do different things. Mm. And so maybe that throws it a little bit. But, I mean, I am absolutely stunned, and I've said this before, maybe in the last tournament when we saw penalty shootouts, that players continually add different variables into things.
Like change it up and stuff like that. If you hit that ball in the top right-hand corner of the net,
it's not been saved. Yeah. It can't be saved. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much the keeper comes off the line until it's obvious, because then the referee will stop it if it's obvious. If you put it right in the corner, it can't be saved. Mm. Keepers are getting better, definitely, and I think they're stealing a yard because they can get away with it to the point where if you don't put it right in the corner, you're in trouble. But like there was a guy, I forget who it was because there was a lot of penalties taken yesterday, but someone, it might have been a Croatia player, he started his run-up dead straight.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So he didn't know whether he was going to take it with his left or his right. Then he looped his run round. Then he stuttered. And it's like, so you're bringing like three different variables in. If you just smash it, you're going to score. And I know it sounds a bit like, oh, your dad talking about football type thing because we're all a bit older.
He did score though, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah.
No, the guy who did the looped run-up missed.
Okay,
It was telegraphed from a mile away that he was going to miss as well.
And I think it's probably just an extension of like, it's not enough to score. You want to be seen as being spectacular while doing it. And I think the best way you can score a spectacular penalty is just to bury it in the top corner. Because no one's going to be able to stop you doing that.
Well, there was a penalty taker, I forget which one it was, for Denmark, who the keeper saved from. And he just did it all wrong. A goalkeeper will tell you that if you go up to take a penalty, most goalkeepers, unless they've got some sort of special technique, mostly if you are, okay, so if you're a right-footed player, if you go up to take a penalty and you open your body, you're really going to put it to the goalkeeper's left.
Yeah.
And if you close your body, you're going to sweep it across yours and put it to the goalkeeper's right. The idea, I suppose, for some penalty takers, if you've got a particular spot that you're going to put it in, you're not waiting for the keeper to move, is that you go up and you try and do that, I suppose, as late as possible, so the goalkeeper can't really react. But the problem is for the Danish player in question, who I forget. He came up, but he was so nervous. His body was closed, and he came up, and you could tell which way he was going to put it. Now, for me, I would say to somebody, if you are nervous and you're running up and you think, oh crap, put it down the middle, because I don't think a keeper really stays.
Or put it high in the middle.
Well, smash it down the middle. And I think that
nobody ever puts anything high down the middle.
No, exactly. Not, you get, you don't
it seems risky. Mm.
Didn't Andrés Muller do it in Euro 96 against England?
With some aplomb.
Yeah.
With some aplomb.
I feel like, you know, these are the details. These are the little percentage points here and there, which are the difference between going out and staying in the corner.
Well, the penalty shootout is a lottery, mate.
The penalty shootout dumps teams out of football tournaments. And I think it's been a long-standing bugbear of mine that referees don't punish keepers who come off the line before the ball's been kicked. That's something technology could actually deal with. You know, if you've got your feet, if there's, it's binary, the keeper's either got his feet on the bloody line or not. If you can have goal line technology in this situation, you could use the same sort of technology, I'm fairly certain, for keepers coming off their line before the ball's been kicked.
Could you get like a penalty shootout, like sort of rope or chain where the keeper is like
bungee cord,
puts his, yeah,
yeah,
he can't bungee come cord. He can only move laterally, put a glass screen up or something.
No, maybe just temporarily adjust his like brain.
Yeah.
So he's not able to move forward.
Like those ants with the...
there's probably the technology for that.
In football, in brain technology. That's the future.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Screen. I like it.
And then some people still wouldn't be happy. Yeah. You know, because we're talking about free will.
We could just flick a switch in their brain and they would be.
Yeah, well, maybe. Croatia are 5-4 to beat Russia next time around with Bet365. £10 returns £22.50, including stake. And Mark, I just really quickly wanted to follow up on something that you said, I think it was.
Uh-oh.
That I absolutely...
About my wife.
Absolutely agree that I did predict the Russian. No, that Croatia, you got Croatia spot on. They are, I think they've got a bit of a small little brother type thing that England occasionally have psychologically as well, where they think the group's easy because there's not as much pressure. They're a good team. They've got good players. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to it, they really struggle under the pressure. And I think playing against Russia, again, it'll be another home game for Russia, of course. Russia will do what they'll do. And Croatia, I thought for large parts of that game last night, Denmark looked like the better team. Mm-hmm. And I think Croatia might struggle against Russia as well.
However, mm-hmm. Russia's game plan is not set out for them this time. What do you do against Croatia? Because Croatia can pick people off, as we know, but do you deny them space? How do you approach that? It's very difficult now. I'd love it if they Di Matteo'd it. Chelsea's Di Matteo. All the way to the final.
That said, I mean, Croatia really weren't that good yesterday. We thought that their passing game and their ability to find space would punish Denmark. But for large periods, particularly in the second half and in the extra time, it looked like Denmark had the more sort of drive. And they looked the better team.
And I slightly disagree with you, Marcus, because I think that what Denmark did is slightly similar to what Russia will do. If you looked at that game against Denmark, Rakitic and Modric, they had to go so deep to get the ball to the point where they just couldn't affect the game. They couldn't. I mean, it got to the point towards the end of the game where Rakitic was just shooting.
Yeah.
And obviously, they didn't really. I mean, would you say they really looked like winning the game apart from that thing at the end with the penalty?
Very true.
So I think Russia, there's a blueprint there for them if they want it, I think.
But they did win it, though, didn't they? And they're going to play Russia, of course, in that quarterfinal. A couple of quarterfinals have shaped up quite nicely. We've got France against Uruguay. And all this talk about denying people space and trying to restrict the opposition. Interesting comments from Antoine Griezmann, because France are surely one. I mean, they'll be thinking to themselves, unlike other teams, they have a realistic chance of winning this trophy, really. Obviously, Brazil are in their half of the draw. But Griezmann's comments about Uruguay were interesting. He said, Uruguay will be like Atletico Madrid. They will take their time, fall, go to the referee. We will have to get used to that because the match will be boring and they will want to bring us into that. Has he forgotten that he's signed a new contract for Atletico Madrid? He's been, they're going to be a bunch of dicks about this. Yeah. And you're very much a part of that.
Confusing message.
Diego Simeone's like, hang on.
The full quote was, and trust me, I would know. It's an amazing thing for him to say. What do you think about... So you talk about France. I mean, they've shown that, you know, when you go into the knockout stage, they've actually come into their own.
Like shown a bit of ambition.
Yeah, they've shown like they actually belong in that knockout football pressure environment.
They have the players to
of course.
That.
But I think Croatia have good players too.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
There's only a couple of teams that have got a better first 11 than Croatia, I would say, personally, in terms of players, but they haven't. But I really want to talk about this because it's something that's been misunderstood. But England's side of the draw now represents such an obvious opportunity that... probably the best opportunity since 2002, but then obviously they came up against the Brazil that had good players. That we can't miss it. We can't sort of we have to say that
it's the elephant in the room.
If England don't get to a semi-final now, that has to be seen as a failure, as far as I'm concerned. Mm. Not because I think England are brilliant, because I've got all the passion and three lines on my shirt, but purely because I think going into the tournament, we probably thought, let's just see what happens because we've got a young group. But the way the chips have fallen, you have to look at that and say, well, hang on a minute. Colombia and then Sweden or Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
But even looking further ahead than that,
I don't know if I can handle this. Well, if you look at the teams on the side of
the
draw.
It's lucky you're not playing.
This is the problem. This is why I wanted England to beat Belgium, because it was always good to win a football match, of course, even though it's a sort of a dead rubber. England against Japan, I would fancy England to win that, and then probably play Brazil, you would imagine.
What, and go out?
Let me finish. Yeah. So play Brazil. If you go out fighting against Brazil, fine, you've been beaten by a better side. I can take that. If you beat Brazil, suddenly, my goodness, we're on. You know, that's absolutely mega. And but you're not looking too far down the draw. Yeah. Whereas now, and understandably, so, Gareth Southgate's got
delicious.
a hell of a stairwell. Gareth Southgate has got a real task on his hand now, because if you're an England player, you do start looking ahead. I mean, was it Kevin Kilbane on the BBC was saying that Ireland were doing this in 2002? They were looking further down the line in the draw, and that is never a good idea, really, for players. I know managers. Look, Cheech of Brazil and so on, he will look a little bit further down the line in a measured way, not because they think they're brilliant, but it's in a sense of, right, we'll have a little bit of preparation just in case we do get further. Because I think if you just turn up and go, we haven't even thought about Belgium or something.
Well, exactly. You need a little bit of variation here and there, but I think England just needs to play to their strength. There's no game plan that defeats any of those teams until you get to Brazil. You'll play exactly the same way until you get to Brazil, and then shut up shop, hopefully. but it would be a very English thing to sort again look ahead and then sort of stink up against Colombia.
It brings into focus like something that I've thought about for a while, which is a lot of people misunderstand and think that certain people or athletes or professionals or whatever are scared of failure, but actually they're not. They're scared of success, and when an opportunity presents itself to you in this fashion, it tells a lot about a group of players or an athlete or, you know, whatever it may be, whichever sport, if whether they take it or not. Because it's actually on one level, and go with me here, on one level, if you go up against Brazil in a quarterfinal, on one level, that's easy because no one's expecting you to win. So you haven't got to deal with it. You just got to go, right, well, Brazil are brilliant.
Yeah.
We'll do the best we can. Even if we get beat 3-0, we're probably not going to get bad for it.
Intensity and guts will get you some way in those matches.
Yeah.
In the matches England have got, they've just got to be competent.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're right.
Which is scarier.
Which is why I want the Brazil draw, because it's the competency I worry about.
But if you look at everything that Gareth Southgate has been saying and the attitude he's trying to install in the team, it's about consistency and it's about being level-headed. It's about being positive and calm and all the things that England haven't been, where they've just frozen and panicked in the past. And that's not to say that the players will actually enact that the whole way through the tournament, but the conditions look good for this situation that England find themselves in.
Yeah, and the thing is, I've watched so many football matches this World Cup. I'm at the point where I'm like, well, England haven't played any matches and all the other teams have played 50 matches. Yeah. So in my head, there's so much football. I'm like, England are going to be so ring rusty.
I wonder whether... Because if you try and be, it's difficult to be objective, but if you try and be as objective as you can, if you said to me, do you think England are better than Colombia, Switzerland and Sweden? I would say personally, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jim's hit on something there where it comes down to how they approach it. Now, if we've got a long line of players queuing up outside Gareth Southgate's office saying what Jim was saying earlier, then we're fucked. No disrespect to you, but you're not in the squad, do you know what I mean? If we... And so,
which point?
The point where
anything you've ever said in your life.
No, but the point where you sort of alluded to the fact that, like, you can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. It's too much of an. And I understand what you mean, because it's such an alien feeling as a fan. I hope the players aren't thinking that.
Well, that's the big hope. Yeah, it's Southgate who gives us a bit of hope.
And if they're preparing properly and doing their thing, I think Colombia are quite. Having said what I've just said, I think Colombia are a nice balance, because they're not so bad that you think, oh God, it'll be embarrassing if we lose here.
Yeah.
They are good enough to give us a bit of a problem.
Well, Colombia can beat England.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. So absolutely. it'll keep the mind nice and sharp.
I really feel that Colombia are being hugely underestimated ahead of this game. I don't think England are such clear favourites to it. And obviously James Rodriguez will be a miss if he is missing. That's still a little bit unclear.
They've still got players.
Exactly. They've still got very, very good players. Cuadrado, Quintero, and Falcao. This, you know, even Carlos Bacca off the bench. I know he's not had the best of times lately, but he's a strong player that can cause problems.
This is obviously the toughest match. And if you can get through that, it's like, oh, well, let's kick on.
England are, in fact, big favourites to beat Colombia. They're 11-10 with Bet365. £10 returns, £21 including stake.
it's there for them if they want it. And I don't think people should misunderstand us saying, oh, we're going to win the World Cup. We're not saying that. We're saying it's a massive opportunity for us. And
to
even
get
if
to...
No, but it is pretty, a big opportunity. But also as well, I think that with
Get rid of Gareth and bring Big Sam in. Come on.
Big Sam
come on, we need steel. We need determination.
We need Rooney. Just sign a new deal, he'd be confident.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, the thing is, with Russia putting out Spain and obviously Germany already going out, one could think, oh, that'll give Colombia a huge boost ahead of the England game. It'll also give England a huge boost. You know, yeah. I think it blows the tournament wide open because England are not one of the sides who were thought they would win it before the tournament and so on and so forth. But one of those sides is Brazil, and they're playing Mexico. And Mexico will be boyoed by that Russia win, of course. Belgium playing Japan in the later game.
You say that, it's funny, but yeah, I think they should take confidence from that. But the Mexico coach did say this morning, we're going to attack Brazil.
Yeah.
We are going to attack them.
Damn right. So, saw that
Russian nonsense. That's fine, if that's what you like. Yeah, but we're going out here. We'll take a 4-1 defeat, thank
Yay.
You very much.
but the way Mexico set up against Germany seems an obvious thing to say, but it's obvious for a reason. Play like that against Brazil and see how you get on.
So yesterday, I at the risk of undermining all my good work, I said that the Russia-Spain and the Brazil-Mexico games are the two biggest potential for upset. I think Mexico will find. I think we'll find a lot out about Brazil today. I think Mexico can challenge them in a way that no one's really challenged them yet, and they've got a lot of pace. And I also think they're quite a sort of confident-looking team. Mm-hmm. They're the type of team, and I don't, Jim, you summed up quite well by saying they're the most World Cup team ever. They've got players like Lozano, Hernandez, maybe one or two others, who look better players for Mexico than they do for their club.
Massively,
and that does count for something. That does mean something.
Totally, yeah.
So I'm excited for this game.
Yeah, absolutely right.
By the way, I don't think Japan will beat Belgium.
I was going to say, everyone had Belgium as dark horses in previous tournaments and they didn't really deliver on people. I'll sod it. Are people underestimating Belgium? Because Belgium have got to be looking at them this and thinking, hang on, we've got a chance.
I feel they do absolutely have a chance. It's like they've replaced the Dutch. For me, do you know what I mean? Like
that good
sort
point.
Of, in European football, they've got this seemingly endless production line of talent that just, you know, has appeared in the last decade or so.
No defence of this tournament wants to come up against Hazard and Lukaku.
No, absolutely. And I think Lukaku might fill his boots in this game and sort of, because he really wants to be the top scorer, doesn't he? And you see, some strikers really are desperate for that. You can see Harry Kane has that, which is a real boon for England. And like at a tournament, I feel like that's a good thing. Like a really good thing that you have a striker that is obsessed about scoring.
Sure. I think Belgium, in a weird way, are in exactly the same position as England. They've played the same teams in terms of Tunisia and Panama and won. Belgium, of course, narrowly beat England. But Belgium have the better players and England have, personally, I think, the better coaching staff. Mm-hmm. But we don't know enough about each team yet. Whether if Belgium blow Japan to bits, you'd even say then, okay, well, they should beat Japan. Mm-hmm. I think Colombia is a harder ask than Japan, but I still think England should win it. Mm-hmm. So we might even be in the quarterfinals and not have all the questions answered about Colombia or England. About Belgium or England.
Are we all forgetting that this World Cup has been amazing?
Yeah, so Japan will probably win. Yeah.
Japan and Colombia will win.
Gambate Nihon.
It's a strange thing, that, isn't it? Because you wonder how much does that get into the teams of into the heads of the other teams. Like, because Russia beat Spain, shouldn't mean that Japan will beat Belgium.
But I was saying earlier, some of these sides will be buoyed by that. Yeah. Mexico,
buoyed.
And Colombia.
Oh, you are actually using the word like that. I thought you were taking the mick earlier on.
Boyd.
Boyd, sorry.
Very Welsh.
Yeah.
Welsh version of Boyd.
I was sort of remembering what I said and then sort of oddly quoted myself.
Mocking the Welsh because they haven't qualified.
Oh,
no, I'm not mocking the
endless.
Welsh. I was saying that for our brother Sam on the camera.
Yeah.
All right, let's end the show now. I'm rather buoyed. I'm Boyd about
excited.
The whole thing. Well, thank you for ever so much for listening to the World Cup Ramble sponsored by Bet365, everybody. I've been Marcus Speller. He's been Luke Moore.
I still am.
He's been Jim Campbell.
I have.
He's been Pete Donaldson.
Come back in Nihon.
And we're back tomorrow. Goodbye from us all in London. London, goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.